Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with an Egyptian football star who helped salvage a draw for Liverpool on Sunday. Prince Nesta has that story and a spicy full plate of football highlights from Europe and the United States. Sporty greetings, Prince!
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Mo Salah spared Liverpool's blushes as the Egyptians' late penalty rescued a 1-1 draw against struggling Fulham. The 28-year-old has now scored the same amount of Premier League goals as five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo, despite playing 65 fewer games than the Portugal international. The pair have both scored 11 penalties, but the Egyptian is yet to score from a free kick in the Premier League. Arsenal's season went from poor to dreadful as Gabon hitman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang scored an own goal and the Gunners were reduced to 10 men in a 1-0 loss to Burnley. The 2015 African Football of the Year had been looking to end his goal drought but headed the ball into his own net while defending a Burnley corner in the 73rd minute. Granit Xhaka earned a red card for violent conduct, prompting a response from Arsenal's team manager Mikel Arteta.
Being unacceptable to do that action is because the players are in a moment that they are so willing to do more, to fight more, to show how committed they are, to be alive in the games, that in this occasion Granit has overstepped the line.
That's Arsenal's team manager Mikel Arteta reacting to his side's loss against Burnley at home. The Spaniard is under increasing pressure with his team 15th in the 20-team division, with 13 points from 12 games, 4 points more than Burnley, which climbed out of the relegation zone. Gylfi Sigurdsson scored a cool first-half penalty as Everton beat Chelsea 1-0 to inflict a first defeat in 17 games in own competition on Frank Lampard's side. Manchester United were also held to a goalless draw by Manchester City, with the Laguna Social side showing signs of progress following the Champions League exit in midweek. In other matches, Harry Kane and Song Heung-min combined for a goal for the 12th time this season, before Premier League leaders Tottenham conceded in the 81st minute to draw 1-1 at Crystal Palace. James Maddison also scored twice, while Jamie Vardy added another, as Leicester produced a relentless first-half display to beat Brighton 3-0 and climb to third in the Premier League. Here's Leicester City manager Brendan Rodgers hailing his team's star player, 33-year-old Jamie Vardy.
I expect him to go on and finish with a real high number. You see him in every game, it looks like scoring. Again, he's running speed and timing of his movement tonight was fantastic.
That was Leicester City's manager Brendan Rodgers hailing his team's star player Jamie Vardy, who has now been directly involved in 14 goals in 11 Premier League appearances for Leicester this season. Moving on to the French League, Brazilian superstar Neymar was carried off the field on a stretcher as Paris Saint-Germain slammed to a 1-0 defeat at home to Lyon that leaves them third in the French League table. Zimbabwean forward Tino Kadewere scored the sole goal, firing a low-angle shot past Keylor Navas 10 minutes before halftime. Lille are currently the new leaders on goal difference after French footballer of Ivorian descent Jonathan Bamba and Jose Fonte scored in a typically solid 2-1 home win over Bordeaux. Winger Florian Thauvin and striker Dario Benedetto grabbed a goal each as fourth-place Marseille beat Monaco 2-1. The Olympians trailed PSG by 1 point, but has played 2 fewer games. René also got back to winning ways with a scrappy 1-0 victory at Nice, thanks to French-born Senegalese striker Mbaye Niang's first-half goal. Real Madrid won the bragging rights in the Spanish capital after seeing off top of the table Atletico Madrid 2-0 at home in La Liga, rounding off a crucial week on a high. Casemiro opened the scoring with a 15th-minute header following a corner, and Real Madrid doubled their lead in the second half when Dani Carvajal's shot rebounded into the net off the unfortunate Jan Oblak. Six-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi scored the only goal as Barcelona returned to winning ways with victory over struggling Levante. Barca's fifth league win lifts them 2 places up the La Liga table to 8th, before Wednesday's home match with leaders Real Sociedad, who moved back to the top of La Liga, but will be disappointed after being held to a 1-1 draw at home to local rivals Eibar in the 13th round of games in Spain. Serie A leaders AC Milan maintained their unbeaten league record in dramatic fashion when Theo Hernandez scored twice as they fought back from 2 goals down to draw 2-2 at home to Parma. Milan, again missing talismanic forward Zlatan Ibrahimovic through injury, hit the woodwork 4 times and also saw a first-half goal disallowed, while Parma scored from 2 of their 3 shots on target. Inter Milan scored 3 times in the last 15 minutes as they came from behind to claim a dramatic 3-1 win at Cagliari, thanks to goals from Belgian star of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku, Ricardo Sotil and Danilo D'Ambrosio. 5-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo also marked his 100th game for Juventus with a pair of penalties in a 3-1 success over Genoa on Sunday. Moving on to Major League Soccer, Ghana's Emmanuel Boateng, Jonathan Mensah and Harrison Afful, alongside Nigeria's Fernando Adi and Morocco's Younes Mokhtar, have won the 2020 Major League Soccer Cup with Columbus Crew after their 3-0 victory over Seattle Sounders. Ghana left-back Afful got the host off to a flying start by assisting Lucas Zelarayan for their opening goal in the 25th minute. Derek Etienne doubled the lead for the Crew in the 31st minute as Zelarayan bagged his brace 8 minutes from full-time. Saturday's triumph secured Columbus Crew's 2nd Major League Soccer Cup, having clinched their first title in 2008. Here is coach Caleb Porter's take on the win.
I always like the underdog. I'm an underdog myself. I build my teams with underdogs as well, guys that, you know, maybe aren't the sexiest, biggest name, you know, highest paid guys, although Lucas Zelarayan today was the best player on the field, real difference maker. But I just told them that we were going to do it. When you have a vision that's strong, when you assign a value to a goal, and you get a group of guys that buy into that, no one's going to stop us from getting there. And it started on the first day of preseason, and we never wavered. We weren't scared to say this was a goal, and we went after it. We attacked it, and we're a team, and it took different guys at different times to step up and get the job done.
That was Columbus Crew coach Caleb Porter's post-match press conference following his team's 3-0 victory over Seattle Sounders. As a reward for winning the Major League Soccer Cup, Columbus Crew becomes the 4th American top-flight club to qualify for the 2021 CONCACAF Champions League. They join supporters Shield winners Philadelphia Union, MLS's back tournament winners Portland Timbers, and 2019 U.S. Open Cup champions Atlanta United in the tournament. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Thanks, Prince. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Columbus Crew for lifting the MLS Cup for a 2nd time.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
For a 2nd time, Nigeria has postponed its national sports festival due to COVID-19 concerns. The festival was originally scheduled for March in Benin City, the capital of Edo State. Then it was postponed to December, but that date has now been shelved. The Sports Jamboree is used to select athletes to represent Nigeria in major international competitions like the Olympic Games. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted a former spokesman of the Nigeria Olympic Committee Tony Nazianya.
To see that the National Sports Festival has been postponed again is disheartening. It is terrible. I do not want to think about it because first things have been held, events have been held, elections have been held every day, and nobody has thought it wise, you know, to follow some certain recommendations and hold at this festival. You know, what are we postponing this festival to achieve what? We claim that there is the coronavirus invasion. But sports have started in so many other countries. Leagues have started in Europe, and we're watching there, and they're using social distancing and all, and all the protocols, you know, to hold these events. Why must we not hold a national sports festival to pick athletes to guarantee our future? Because when you are not holding the festival, you are not discovering talent, you are not growing the younger ones. So this is the implication of this. We must think about it and think of holding this festival sometime soon.
Do you think the postponement of the 20th edition of the National Sports Festival will affect Nigeria's preparations for the Tokyo Olympic Games?
Already, what we're doing now is that we are making it impossible for Nigeria to have a good show at the Olympic Games. Because by not holding your national sports festival, not discovering talent, and not even engaging in the qualifying series, you are not prepared for the game. So I do not see any form of preparation for the game. I think that we may perform so badly, or that we may have to not to participate in the games. Because what is happening now does not show any form of seriousness towards our preparation for the Olympic Games. So we must do something about that and ensure that we do not unnecessarily stretch out, you know, continue the battle that we have been doing at the Olympic Games.
Which way out, especially as it affects preparations for the Tokyo Olympic Games?
Well, like many countries have done, we should also show some form of seriousness, study the pandemic, the implications of holding sports, and study the protocols that we should observe in order to restart our sports in this country. It is very, very unfair that we must compromise the future of our youth just because we are observing, we do not want to be affected, you know, come back with the coronavirus. There are measures already in place. We had a team of medical personnel, scientific community that was studying how we can respond to, by restarting our sport. And then we have just seen the report. That's not fair. It is not fair. Life is about the continuation. And what we should do is to go and look at those reports, see areas that we can utilize to that report and restart our sport. We must do that to encourage continuity, encourage their youth to take sports to the zenith.
That's Tony Nezianya, a former spokesman of the Nigeria Olympic Committee. And Tony was talking with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Oka, Nigeria.
Sports greetings. This is Tony Obiora Nigeria, a former spokesman of the Nigeria Olympic Committee. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, Bam, D.C.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. Still on the African sports beat, Douglas Mpuga joins us now with a package of African football and African cricket news.
The South African cricket team will tour Pakistan for the first time in 13 years in 2021. The tour will run from January 26th to February 14th, but the team will have to quarantine on the arrival. The two tests will be played in Karachi and Rawalpindi, with all three TO20s held in Lahore. Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, and Zimbabwe have toured Pakistan in the past 15 months after the country went 10 years without hosting Test cricket. South Africa won a two-match test series 1-0 on their last tour of Pakistan in 2007. Issa Hayatou is granted the status of Honorary President of African Football, CAF. Hayatou will be honored at a special ceremony in his home nation of Cameroon. He's the longest-serving leader in CAF history, having led the African football body from 1988 to 2017. The 74-year-old was made an honorary vice president of FIFA after losing the elections 3 years ago, and now CAF is granting him the same honor. The decision to make Hayatou an honorary president was proposed by the executive committee, which the General Assembly approved on Friday. The ceremony will take place in Yaoundé on January 15th, a day before the African Nations Championship CHAN kicks off in Cameroon. Despite the coronavirus threat, CAF hopes to be able to fill stadiums to 25% of their capacities for CHAN, a tournament for African players based in their domestic leagues. Meanwhile, a date has been set in the first half of 2021 for the African Super Cup, which will be played by the continent's champions, Al Ahly of Egypt, and Confederation Cup winners, RS Berkane of Morocco. The game will be played in Qatar.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Hello, listeners. My name is Juma Miro, the Commonwealth Games bronze medalist in Australia 2018. Listen to Southern Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Thanks, Juma. Samson Omale joins us now with sports news from Uganda and South Africa.
An umbrella body that will accommodate Uganda sports federations and associations have been formed. The Association of Sports Federation of Uganda was formed to address the underfunding challenges and other issues relating to sports development. The group believes the sports federation and association union gives them a stronger voice to lobby for an increased budget for the sports subsector by the government. Moses Muhangi is the chairman of the newly formed Uganda Sports Federations and Associations.
The main objective is that we need to meet the president of Uganda as sports leaders in Uganda. This has been long overdue, and as you are all aware, all our challenges to do with sport, be it funding, you'll hear voices saying it is the president who decided this.
400 meters world record holder South Africa's Wayne van Niekerk has described 2020 as a difficult year for him as he recovers from a ruptured anterior cruciate ligament injury. The athlete only managed to participate in a few races this year, albeit ravaged by the COVID-19 pandemic. Van Niekerk says he's got his eyes on the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games as he targets to match or surpass his world record he set 4 years ago in Rio.
Being able to consistently train again and compete again, it's really a blessing, and it's really an opportunity I don't want to take for granted. So at the same time, I don't want to be silly.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
World Athletics President Sebastian Coe says healthy athletes must take their proper place in the COVID-19 vaccine queue behind people with more pressing needs.
Look, you know, we have to also be sensitive here. There are many claims on that priority. You know, we are all reliant upon, vast majority of us are reliant upon, you know, well-structured and a delivery of healthcare at a state level. We are all dependent on our frontline workers and our emergency services. And we also recognize that there are vulnerable people in the community, and we want to make sure that we look after them as well as possible. All I'm saying is I'm not sure that it is for sport to be pressing the case for fit young people. I would like, on the other hand, that when the vaccine does become available and at the right moment the athletes have the opportunity to make use of it, that they do. But I'm not mandating it. I don't think that it's my job to tell people, you know, what they should or shouldn't do in terms of that area. I think there has to be some, you know, that has to be a very personal and individualistic view. And some athletes will take a view about, you know, the speed with which the vaccine has come together and all the things that the rest of the population are grappling with. I hope they do avail themselves of it. I certainly would if I had the opportunity in the lead up to a games like that. But I think that's very much a personal, that's has to be a matter of personal decision.
World Athletics President Sebastian Coe talks about the lead up to a games. He believes next year's Tokyo Olympic Games will be held as scheduled.
No, I think the games will go off. I was in Tokyo, just as you know, just a month or so ago, and spent 48 very intensive hours there talking to the organizing committee, all the government ministers responsible for delivering sections of the games, the mayor, the governor of Tokyo. There is a cast iron determination to stage the games. There is a recognition that we're still in uncertain territory. Yes, the vaccine will help, but I guess that for athletes in the village and maybe, you know, the process of warm up track to call room, holding area, and then, you know, there are going to be some adaptations there. What, of course, nobody is clearly across at the moment is whether we're going to be able to, I sincerely hope so, but whether we're going to have a stadium populated by good, noisy, passionate fans. I guess there'll still be an element of social distancing. I suppose those are some of the things that are still up in the air. The athlete management in the village is something that I think the athletes are probably going to have to adapt to slightly.
Sebastian Coe spoke during an online news conference. The Tokyo Olympics are scheduled to open July 23rd, 2021. Coe also praised the Japanese organizers.
I think we should be very grateful, and I wake up grateful most days, that it is the Japanese that are dealing with this, because this is a first-class organizing committee. We're very lucky. We have a very, very good athletics federation chaired by my good council colleague Hiroshi. And they have the intellectual ability and certainly the resilience to see their way through this coming 6 months to deliver what I think will be a fantastic game.
That's World Athletics President Sebastian Coe speaking recently during an online news conference. During his running career, Seb Coe won 4 Olympic medals, a gold and a silver at the 1980 Moscow Games, and a gold and a silver at the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Fali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America. Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
And to quote Shaka, from the deepest better part of the bottom of my heart, I want to congratulate Shaka and the Straight Talk Africa team for celebrating the show's 20th anniversary this year. World heavyweight boxing champion Anthony Joshua successfully defended his titles over the weekend with a ninth round knockout of Bulgarian challenger Kubrat Pulev in London. Joining us now with more details is VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Of the 24 wins in Anthony Joshua's career, all but two are via knockout. The latest one occurred Saturday night. Joshua suffered his sole defeat last year when he himself lost by technical knockout at the hands of American Andy Ruiz Jr. However, 6 months later, Joshua handedly won their rematch by unanimous decision. Saturday marked his first fight since that rematch when the 31-year-old retained his titles in front of his home crowd inside London's Wembley Arena. Joshua looked like he would end the fight early when he floored his Bulgarian opponent Kubrat Pulev in the third round. But the challenger recovered and the two men went toe-to-toe before Joshua produced a right-hand cross in the ninth round for a devastating knockout finish. Joshua was a man of few words after his victory and told reporters that he simply stuck to what he knows best and hoped the crowd was satisfied. And according to promoter Eddie Hearn, his heavyweight champion did what he had to do to get the job done.
It was a composed performance. It was a brutal performance. It was exactly what he needed going into 2021. Obviously, hasn't boxed for a year. Got 8 great rounds in and got a brutal knockout victory.
Saturday's victory sets up the prospect of a much-anticipated clash between Joshua and fellow countryman Tyson Fury, who currently holds the WBC belt. And Eddie Hearn says he is eager to get the two heavyweights together.
I can't make it clear from our side. Everybody wants the fight. It's the natural fight. There's nobody on the team that doesn't want the fight. I think that sometimes you let emotions get in the way of screaming and shouting and calling out fights. And AJ's not the kind of guy that's going to scream and shout people's name. We know he wants the fight, of course. I'm going to keep shtum and just tell you that it's my job to deliver that fight next, and I'll do everything I can to deliver it. And we should start that immediately.
Ahead of the fight, Tyson Fury said his money was on Kubrat Pulev. But after the final bell, Fury was quick to call out Anthony Joshua on social media, where he placed his bets on himself, saying he would knock out Joshua by round 3. Fury's co-promoter Bob Arum also took to social media, and on Twitter he said the wheels were in motion for what he called the biggest heavyweight championship fight since Ali Frazier in 1971. For his part, Anthony Joshua has reportedly said he is up for anything and added he's been chasing belts since 2013 and fulfilling the mandatories. And if that next belt is Tyson Fury, let it be Tyson Fury. Well, it looks like the stage is already being set for 2021 for one of the biggest events in boxing. And our thanks to Matchroom Sports for the audio in this report. And that's all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Finally, one of the classic American sports rivalries, a rivalry that spans 130 years, resumed over the weekend in West Point, New York, Army defeated visiting Navy 15-0 in U.S. college football. The AP's Tom Merriam reports.
Army shut out Navy for the first time in 51 years, 15-0. Quinn Moretzky's 37-yard field goal for West Point early in the second quarter was the only scoring of the first half. It stayed 3-0 until Army finally took command early in the fourth quarter by scoring the only touchdown of the game on a 4-yard run by quarterback Tyre Tyler.
What's amazing about this game is the significance of this game is deeper than football. So seeing like all the officers and colonels and generals congratulating you, you know, that means a lot.
The Army defense dominated Navy, holding the midshipmen to just one pass completion the entire game while scoring itself on a safety in the fourth quarter. The game was played in a fog at West Point, the first time it was not held at a neutral site since World War II. I'm Tom Merriam.
Thanks, Tom. And that wraps up the December 14th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.